So the last little bit of business before I get to the talk formally is someone asked me what if there was a book I would recommend to read. And the Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths is really embedded in almost every Buddhist book you will read. I would recommend for a really nice, accessible, in plain English version of it, this book, which is by Cortland Dahl, called The Meditator's Guide to Buddhism. He has a chapter called Coming Home that's specifically about the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, which is really lovely. Bill has recommended this book called What the Buddha Taught, which is also has a good overview, has a little bit more of the Buddhist terminology. Very good, regardless. And then also, just so you know, what I'm reading, because it was on my bookshelf, is Awakening the Buddha Within by Lama Suri Das, because it's in my on my bookshelf. He has a very good overview of the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path from a Tibetan practice, from the Tibetan point of view lineage. And that's the lineage I follow, so I really enjoyed that. And I also recommend Mindfulness, This Tomb by Joseph Goldstein, which goes into a lot of detail. It also was the text for my teacher certification program, so I had this on my bookshelf. And these books are listed on my website under the guided meditations, where you'll also find the talks. So, without further ado, let's get to the topic. So, to begin, I'd like to invite you to take a deep breath in. Long, slow breath out. Just take a moment to let go of the day you've already had. Getting out of bed, having breakfast, not having breakfast, getting in the car, turning on the computer, just let go of that and let yourself be present. And for today's talk, I wanted to turn to this term called dukkha. So the first noble truth is the nature of dukkha, or it's translated as suffering, but no one really likes that translation. Everyone says it doesn't work, and indeed it doesn't. So before we dive into that, I want to invite you to return to something I said yesterday, which was, what is it that brought you to meditation? Why are you getting up at 7:30 or earlier to get here, to get to your computer at 7:30? What is that underneath that? You know, is it some kind of difficulty, challenge, suffering, really emotional pain, physical pain, the pain of the world? Has something shifted in your life where something has ended and you're into a new stage of something? Maybe expected or unexpected? Or maybe there's that sense of just like restlessness and there could be a better way, or there could be more peace. And there's lots of reasons to come to the cushion, but those are kind of, think about it, they may fall into those categories. And they are in fact the traditional categories that we talk about as suffering, three different kinds of suffering. The first is suffering of suffering. It's the bad stuff that we have just by being human, which is birth, old age, sickness, and death. Those are hard for everybody. And we have to kind of figure out how to reconcile ourselves to just that kind of suffering and challenges. Also in this category, injustice, poverty, abuse, bullying, the suffering of suffering. None of that
works out well for anybody. Right. It's hard. How do we reconcile ourselves to a world in which all those things are just happening? That's the suffering of suffering. The second kind of suffering is a suffering of change or impermanence. Everything that arises also passes. Everything ends. That great vacation, your favorite season, that relationship that you thought was going to work out, the job that you loved, everything ends. And that's hard. It's hard for us. And somehow just like getting it just the way we want it and having it be that way forever just doesn't seem to be the way it goes for any of us. Change happens. So the suffering of change. And then the third category is called all-pervasive suffering. This is the suffering of groundlessness. So it's like change, but only like more pervasive. So I have plans to go to Creative Mornings this morning and get home, do some sit-ups, start my day, have a good work day, publish my class finally. And in reality, I don't know what's going to happen when I walk out the door. And I don't know what will happen. Something good that changes my plans, something bad that changes my plans. And we have a kind of sense that that's actually true, although we're trying to control everything. I think if I make that list, I'm going to be okay. Right? So it's the suffering of wanting things to be solid. And all those things are difficult. So this sense of dukkha or suffering is actually more that sense of discomfort or dis-ease or dissatisfaction or restlessness. So knowing that, the antidote is that we're not alone. We're not alone in any of those kinds of suffering. We all experience all of those, which is why it's so lovely to practice together and to remember that. We're in it together. And I want to invite you to let that sense of no matter how you're experiencing dukkha, you're not alone. And let that be the ground of your practice today. So let's settle in. Taking your seat. Feeling that sense of ground underneath you, feet on the floor, seat on the seat, weight of the body resting. From that groundedness, feeling the length of your back, upright but not rigid. Allowing the shoulders to be relaxed, sense of opening and softening. Connecting to that tender heart, that human tender heart, yours and everyone else's. And then resting your hands comfortably, connecting to ease wherever you feel it. And allowing the mind to rest in the stillness of the body, the warmth and support and togetherness of our practice.